Young Turks, Anna Kasparian, and John Iadarola with you. All right, so Hour 2 has a lot of great stories. I did not check TYT Lives during the break.
Can we read some?
Yeah, let's read a few before we get started.
Okay, so most of these are references to the last stories we did, the two police stories. Null Cookies says, folks, that throw could have killed her. Can't believe people are laughing. Yeah, I mean, maybe you laugh, you're drunk, you're laughing when they're like going back and forth. When he slams her, that, if you're a human, how do you laugh? But people do. Let's see. Sean Ferris says, a 94-pound girl in 4-inch heels shoulder checking you? She probably stumbled, if anything, which is true. And Bob Button says, problem isn't that police withhold video until after investigation is complete. Real problem is no outrage once it does come out.
Right, that's exactly
And that is true,
right.
But I think the internet has really helped with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, people really, when you see footage like that, if you're a human, you want to do something about it. And I think that the internet has been great at that. I mean, these sorts of videos weren't being played on the nightly news a decade ago.
True. Yeah, that video is really difficult to watch, honestly.
That's
it's
rough.
Just this disregard for human life, not only by the cop, but the people that were behind the scenes, either filming it or just laughing at it.
It reminds me of the body slam at the pool party, I believe in Texas.
Yeah.
The guy picked up the girl and just slammed her down. Like, are you a person? Are you a human?
Yeah, I can't deal with it. Okay, let's move on with some more news. United Airlines is currently in the middle of a PR nightmare after some of their officials decided to drag a passenger off a plane in one of the most violent ways that we've seen on a plane so far. Now, this story really has to do with the fact that airlines have this annoying policy of overbooking flights. And sometimes they'll overbook flights and everyone will show up, and then they have to try to convince passengers to give up their seat in exchange for a voucher. Usually it's like a $400 voucher that goes toward another flight, and then they'll get rebooked onto a later flight. Well, a lot of people book their flights during a specific date and time because they need to get to places. And this is one of the cases where, again, everybody showed up, everyone wanted to fly, and no one wanted to give up their seats. Now, as a result, United decided that they would pick random people and make them give up their seats so they could accommodate the employees and the proper individuals to move ahead with the flight. Now, when that happened, they chose one man who claimed that he was a doctor and that he could not fly at a later time. And so what you're about to see is a difficult video to watch. It's a little graphic, but it features the authorities literally dragging a man off the plane. Take a look.
Guys, this is not right.
So he was sitting in a window seat, and apparently they dragged him over the armrest and forced him off the plane.
And threw him down in the aisle.
So there are other videos out there. I want to give credit to the woman who did film this. Her name is Andrea, and she posted it on, Audra Bridges. She posted it on Facebook, and it's been widely shared. But there are other videos.
Yeah, you saw in there, two other people were filming it in that video.
Right, and one of them features a close-up of the passenger and the fact that he was bloody as a result of this confrontation with the authorities. Apparently, in that video, he also said things like, just kill me, that I have to go home. Anyway, it's this whole thing is really frustrating, and it's just devastating because it happens all the time. And even though you're a paying customer and you do everything right and you play by the rules, this could happen to you and you have very little protection, right? Now, the airlines have to compensate you if they have to put you on a later flight and cause this huge inconvenience, but they get to overbook flights all the time because they're like, well, some people don't show up. But you still get paid for that seat. Those people still pay for the flight. You guys never refund. Getting a refund from an airline is one of the hardest things in the world. It's harder than freaking buying a house in America.
Even though they will immediately fill that seat with another person.
Of course they will. And so if someone pays for the flight and that seat, who cares if they show up or not? You're still getting your money, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel terrible for this guy. I hate that this policy exists. I hate that the airlines get away with it. But United is dealing with a ton of criticism as a result of this situation.
Yeah. It's a perverse situation because we would be up in arms if they overbooked something stupid and cheap like a movie theater. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's okay for them to overbook something that costs you way, way 30 times more. And that if you can't use the service, your vacation is ruined, you don't get to go to the funeral you were going to, whatever it is. Nobody just gets on a plane because like, I don't really have anything to do today.
Right.
Everybody desperately needs to finish that flight. So for some reason, they can do it there. Now, my first reaction to this was, this is the perfect video summary of the relationship between corporations and regular people in this country.
That's a great point.
That if they want to, they can send in goons. Those goons can brutalize you until they get to make a little bit more money. It would be bad enough if they had stopped four people from getting on the plane. But you let them get on the plane. To drag them out, are you mad? Are you crazy? There's three people, maybe 10 people filming you. You think you can get away with this? And they do think they can get away with it. They think they can just punch us in the face. There's nothing we can do. Well, maybe we can't punch back, but we can punch them in the stock. This is going to cost them possibly billions of dollars if the uproar continues. That's the power we have as individuals.
Yes, that is the power that we have as individuals. But you also have to keep in mind that, you know, a lot of the big airlines will buy smaller airlines. And then it doesn't create a monopoly per se, but it does lead to way less options when you want to fly. And so there have been multiple instances where I've said, I am never going to fly on this, you know, airline again. And then when I'm booking a flight, and you're right, a lot of times you're booking flights for important reasons, whether it's work-related, family emergencies, things like that. You're booking a flight and you have no options. And then you feel like you have to book with United or whatever it is. Exactly. And I feel like they're emboldened by that, by knowing that in a lot of cases you can threaten them as much as you want, but you don't have a lot of choices out there. And so this policy, there has to be some regulation to stop it. And if you work for the airlines and you're like, no, people don't show up, I don't care. I don't care if people don't show up. Okay, think about it in this context. If you buy tickets to go see Drake, right, because that's something that I would do, and you're spending whatever, hundreds of dollars for that seat, imagine if that venue was like, you know, sometimes people, they just get too drunk before the concert and then they don't show up. So we're gonna triple book each seat. Because we think, I mean,
that's crazy.
I paid for the ticket. I don't care. Guess what? If I pay the money, it's up to me whether I show up or not, okay? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The venue still makes the money. The airline still makes the money, okay?
Drake still makes his money.
Yeah. Exactly. Drake still makes his money. God
love him. And by the way, look, are you going to get to the apology? A spokesperson said, we apologize for the overbook situation. That's a terrible apology, but not as bad as when the CEO steps in. That's how big this got. And he said that he apologizes for the re-accommodation situation. Mm-hmm. No, people aren't mad at you because of the re-accommodations. They're mad at you because you guys brutalized a doctor. That's why we're pissed at you, because you threw a guy down and bloodied him and dragged him off like he was a sack of meat. That's what we're mad at you for. And these sorts of statements are why people hate corporations. Mm-hmm. Because they have drained from their spokesperson and from their CEO any trace of humanity or empathy. They become the robots we know they are. Yeah. And also, by the way, I did some research. And I'm not a lawyer, but I did some research. And apparently, a lot of the times when they go and say, okay, we've overbooked, we're going to offer you $400 to get off the flight, a lot of times that is not as much as you can legally get back.
Right.
And it's just in travel vouchers. You're actually supposed to be given cash. When you accept one of those things early on, when they're just like, hey, do we have any volunteers? You're giving up your right to get as much as you're legally owed, which does not have to come in the form of a travel voucher. You can get more cash.
Yeah, exactly. So
thank
no,
you. He
no
works in the airline rights. Industry over there.
Know your rights and know what you can do to, I mean, you can't really protect yourself. If you find yourself in a situation like this, they can go ahead and kick you off the flight, which is crazy. But I don't know. I don't know if there are any politicians out there that want to like reform this or change this, but there needs to be.
Yeah.
And if there are people like that, I mean, they certainly have my attention.
Yeah, and so it's not guaranteed, but so we were given a tip by a fan of the show on the carrier that functions as United Express. And we read through their guidelines for these sorts of situations, and there's no references made to forcible like evacuation out of the plane, that they can drag you out. It says that they can cancel your ticket, they can refund you. It doesn't say anything about being able to use physical force. And so it's possible that this isn't just bad PR, but they might have literally broken the law. But we're still looking into that.
Yeah. All right, moving on to other news. Over the weekend, 21st Century Fox said that, hey, you know what? We think we're gonna go ahead and investigate the sexual harassment claim against Bill O'Reilly. Well, good for you. I mean, he's had some sexual harassment allegations toward him since 2002, but who cares about that? Now, interestingly enough, this statement from Fox happened after a complaint was phoned in to the network's corporate hotline last week by Wendy Walsh, a former regular guest on Fox's The O'Reilly Factor TV show, and her lawyer, Lisa Bloom. Now, it is interesting that they phoned in to the network's hotline because the network itself kept saying, well, you know, all these women keep making these allegations against Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, but no one called our hotline, mm-hmm. right? So I think that Lisa Bloom and Wendy Walsh wanted to make a point about calling the hotline and making a big deal about this, as they should. Now, it is interesting, again, that Fox had no intention of doing a proper investigation until this past weekend.
15 years after the beginning of all this?
It's crazy. I mean, they had no problem settling with five different women to the tune of, you know, $13 million and defending Bill O'Reilly in the past. But now all of a sudden they're like, okay, maybe we should get some professionals involved and do an independent investigation of this. Now, as you guys probably already know, a number of advertisers did decide to pull out of the Bill O'Reilly show. And Howard Kurtz is the first Fox News host to even mention any of this on his program. So I want to show you the first clip where he talks about it. Take a look.
This week, more than 50 companies have pulled their advertising from O'Reilly's top-rated cable news program.
So I wanted to show you that clip because
it's top rated.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
It's top a top rated. Like, they can't help themselves. Top rated cable news program. Mm-hmm. No, but why is that even relevant to the discussion? They pulled their ads because Bill O'Reilly has been accused by several women who used to work at the network or currently work at the network of sexual harassment. And by the way, for anyone who might, you know, defend him even today because, hey, there's no proof they settled, so we haven't seen any evidence. Keep in mind that in 2004, there was an audio recording of him calling his associate producer, Andrea Macris, and talking about how he wants to like rub a soapy loofah all over her body.
Falafel.
Later, he called it a falafel because, you know, sometimes you work up an appetite when you're sexually harassing
someone.
That's
tasty.
Yeah. And so there's evidence of him doing this in the past. And so it's just crazy to constantly defend him even after that evidence was shown back in 2004. Now, one other quick thing. Let's listen to what Howard Kurtz had to say about Fox's approach to all this.
This has been a difficult and uncomfortable period for the people who work here, no question about it. The network has been trying to move on, to change the culture, and to make clear that any kind of harassment is unacceptable.
It's been a really uncomfortable situation, almost as uncomfortable as a phone call with Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, is this a very difficult time for Howard Kurtz? Are you having a hard time because of these allegations? Oh, your life is very difficult. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
They're trying to change the culture, but they're not really trying to change the culture. I mean, look, they're investigating it now. Yay, that's amazing. What do you think they're going to find? Come on. They settled all those lawsuits. They know what's going on. It's like the Catholic mm-hmm. Church in Boston. They know what's happening. They're now investigating because the heat is on them. And as much as they don't want to investigate it, they really don't want an independent investigation of Bill O'Reilly. And so they're going to jump in front of it and they're going to sweep it under the rug.
Yep.
You can expect that anytime now. And the culture will continue because they're not going to fire Bill O'Reilly.
He's
top rated, I hear.
He's still there. That's the whole point. He's still there. Now, of course, since they're going to launch this independent investigation, O'Reilly also needs to lawyer up. And it is a little ironic who he decided to hire to defend him. Let's go to graphic 7. According to the New York Times, the conservative commentator who made his name in the 1990s disparaging then-President Bill Clinton for having an extramarital affair has hired Clinton's lawyer from the embattled Monica Gate era, Mark Fabiani. So, I don't know, ironic, strange, sad. Also,
He knows a lot about that area of law, I guess.
He does. And then finally, I think the most relevant part of this entire conversation, the fact that his audience continues to support him, and he has experienced a little bit of a ratings boost as a result of this scandal. So not last weekend, but the weekend before, the New York Times published that bombshell report indicating that 21st Century Fox had settled with 5 different women to the tune of $13 million. All of these women had made similar sexual harassment allegations against Bill O'Reilly. Well, right after that was published, here's what happened with Bill O'Reilly's ratings. Approximately 3.8 million people watched O'Reilly's show on Tuesday. That was the Tuesday after the New York Times published that report. That eclipsed last week, where O'Reilly's top rated show had only 2.3 million viewers. O'Reilly's Monday and Tuesday shows had a 14% ratings bump from the previous week. Maybe that's the reason why Fox continues to employ him. Even though, again, these accusations date back to 2002.
I mean, imagine you're like a kid. Thankfully, a kid doesn't pay attention to politics or to media like Fox News. But like, so if you sexually harass women, perhaps sexually abuse women, what do you get? Well, you can get a huge boost in your ratings, or you can become president of the United States. And I think some people who hate Fox News are going to see this and they're going to think, maybe not even consciously, okay, so this is terrible for those women, they're getting sexually harassed, but they're conservative women and they chose to work at Fox News. But like, we still have human dignity. And think about how allowing this old school Mad Men culture to continue at Fox News, that doesn't just hurt the employees of Fox News, it hurts their viewers. I mean, they would change if they were forced to. They might become not just more ethical, but better journalists if they weren't holding on to the old ways of doing business.
Right. And I think my past commentary in regard to conservative women makes clear that I don't necessarily fancy them. Right? But even with that said, they're humans, and regardless of their political ideology, I will do everything and anything necessary to support and protect them against this type of behavior.
Exactly.
All right, we have to take a break. So tweet to us using the hashtag TYTLive. I will read them and respond to them when we come back. And when we come back, like the most insane Fox News segment, especially in the middle of all this sexual harassment drama. You don't want to miss that and more when we come back. All right, so some TYT lives for you. Tanya Pavlova says, okay, so I'm really not going to America until you get your shit together. I think it's a pretty good idea, actually.
Fly a different airline.
Well, also, it's not just about flying here. I mean, right now, tourism in the United States is down pretty significantly since Trump came to office. And it's because of a lot of fear that people have. You know, the TSA screening process, how they want people to unlock their smartphones. You know, some of these, you know, some of the rhetoric geared towards certain individuals of certain religious backgrounds. So I don't blame people for not wanting to come here.
Like, The landmarks of a country are objective, but what you think about that country, the like affection you have for that country, that leads people to go to a city or not to go to a city or a country or whatever.
Like, yeah,
people just find America noticeably more distasteful now. And can we really blame them?
Yeah, I don't blame them at all. It's one of the reasons why I don't have interest in going to places like Dubai, right? Mm-hmm. It's just I don't really want to risk it. I know that most people go there and they travel and they don't have any problems, but some people get caught up in some drama that, you know, I don't want to get caught up in. So I don't blame anyone for feeling a little uncomfortable or weary about coming here to the United States for tourism reasons. Art Murray says, I noticed he wasn't a first class passenger in regard to the guy who was dragged off the flight. Yeah, I also
noticed
that.
They're not going to do that to a first class. Yeah, I mean, it's like cops, it's like Michael Moore's Cops, but with CEOs. Like, nah, they don't get treated like that.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. All right, moving on to some other news. In the midst of all these sexual harassment allegations toward Bill O'Reilly, and after Roger Ailes was pretty much forced to resign because he was dealing with sexual assault and sexual harassment allegations, Fox thought it would be a great idea to host a segment featuring women in tight dresses who give us advice on how to clean our homes. Take a look.
It's time to freshen up, and we've got some tips to spring clean, make your spring cleaning a breeze, like using a lint roller to clean your lamp.
Oh. Okay, so I don't know if you guys
noticed. I am going to try that, though.
I don't know if you guys noticed. Okay, so first of all, I don't know why we ever need to have segments teaching people how to clean, but it's especially.
I get it. I think it's fine.
No, it's supposed to be a news network, right? Why is this on a news network? Like, I understand if it's like a morning show, right? Like it's Regis and Kelly or whatever that show is.
It's for the morning show.
Right.
But it's a preview for the Saturday morning show.
No, I don't care. I don't care. It's supposed to be Fox News, which I know that they don't really do news. I get that. But I just feel like these cleaning segments overall annoy me.
So you're saying that like I can't pitch like we close out the show today with like me showing you how to make like a nice lasagna or something like that?
Well, you're Italian, so you should teach us how to make a spicy meatball.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get what you're saying. It's news. They're trying to be like, that part of it bothers me so much less than everything else.
No, I get it. I get it.
Especially because I don't really know how to clean.
That's my one nitpicky comment that we, you know, focused on way too much. But the other thing I wanted to mention, and we have more content to show you guys from this segment. The other thing that I noticed was the song that they were playing in the background. Okay. It's that Yakety Yak song. Whatever.
Why are they playing that?
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what the lyrics are, I would like to recite them to you. Are you prepared?
Okay.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety yak, don't talk back. Oh, what an appropriate song.
Oh, you were right about the title, by the way. I was thinking of something else.
Yeah, I was like, Yakety Sax.
That's a different song.
You don't know.
That's Benny Hill, yeah. Anyway. Okay, so the lyrics, again, a little bit misogynistic.
Okay, so they're wearing tight dresses, they're bending over. That's Abby Huntsman, bending over, cleaning, pretending to clean,
whatever. They chose them randomly. It could have been Greg Gutfeld. You don't know.
Why would you do this segment while you guys are dealing with serious issues pertaining to sexual harassment? I don't know.
Because that's all they have as a network.
And also, nothing but like men in their 70s watch Fox News, right? Why would you think that they would have any interest in learning how to clean? It's because they don't. They have a lot of interest in seeing young women in tight dresses bending over as they're pretending to clean. Anyway.
The number one thing a 72-year-old white man wants is Abby Huntsman bending over while cleaning. That is the only thing, and maybe a Werther's original. Those are the two things that they want in their day, and you can only give them one through the TV. So they gave them the Abby Huntsman.
There is almost nothing I enjoy more than a random Werther's original when I'm visiting like a relative's home.
I love Werther's original.
They're so good. Okay, but anyway, that was not a sponsored ad. Okay, so I want to show you a little bit more because I think this next clip will kind of give you a sense of why the segment continues to be a little problematic. You're going to hear from host Clayton Morris in the background. Not even in the background, he's in the video. Pay very close attention to what he says. Take a look.
Guys, I know you're thrilled about all of these.
Yes.
Tricks.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to watch on. I'm excited to watch you do it. All right. Now, but the carpet.
Oh, the look. Does it match the, oh, sorry, I'm going to be fired because I'm not famous yet. The way he looked at you was like, oh, can we watch it one more time? Can actually look at that guy's face. Look at
guys, I know you're thrilled about all of these.
Yes.
Tricks.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to watch on. I'm excited to watch you do it. All right. Now, but the carpet.
He wanted to wink. Oh. I think his hands were in his pockets. Don't do that. You're on TV. Get your hands out of your pockets. For me, the reason I really don't like this is specifically because it's Fox News, and as you say, they're embroiled in sexual harassment charges right now. They should know better, considering the things we know that they already do on a daily basis. If it wasn't Fox News, it would bother me 80% less. Because I think, I don't know Abby Huntsman. I don't even know who that other woman is because I don't watch Fox. But you know what it's like when you do the same show day after day and you're sitting there. I mean, granted, they're sitting there in dresses with a camera on their legs and everything, but it's still just sitting there. You want to get up and you want to do something fun and different. So maybe doing a little bit of cleaning or showing something. Some people are really enthusiastic about cleaning.
I know. Look,
but it's Fox.
It's about the context of the situation. It's not just, oh, they decided to do something different and fun and we're giving them a hard time about it. It's about this consistent stereotyping and belittling and minimizing of women in these types of roles, right? The sexual harassment allegations, the sexual assault allegations, the constant stereotyping. Like, you put all of that together and you have a more, I guess, contextual idea of what they think of women, how they treat women, the type of environment that they're working in. And look, they've decided to take this job. They decided to agree to doing this segment. There's no way I would ever agree to that segment, especially in that company, right? And also, if Cenk brought it up, can you imagine Cenk bringing that up? Like, Anna, let's—
Can you bend a little bit as you're doing it?
Can you
it?
Wear a tight dress and pretend like you're dusting the table as you're bending? Like, I just can't fathom it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it really stood out to me.
The only other point I want to make, the reason that this may seem like a ridiculous thing, we like it for the purposes of joking, but also there are larger implications, as you got into, in terms of holding women back. But especially for the viewers, the way they portray race, the way they portray gender and gender roles, I don't think that that creates new generations of racists or misogynists, because no young people watch Fox News. Mm-hmm. But some of those people who are 70 or 80 now, over the past 10, 20 years, would have evolved and would have changed if Fox News wasn't stopping them from doing that by reinforcing their mind that the way things used to be, that was the right way. Mm-hmm. And women should have remained like that, and racial minorities should still know their place. And it got them to hold on to those disgusting views longer than they otherwise would have. And that's why segments like this are actually incredibly damaging.
Absolutely. All right, well, we go from Fox News stereotyping women to a province in Canada protecting them. So I want to do a little bit of international news. I think this is some positive news to share with you guys. British Columbia has decided to make it illegal for places of work to require women to wear certain footwear, heels. So apparently some companies, as part of their dress code, could force female employees to wear heels. But it turns out that a politician kind of took the lead in making this illegal. And now, as a result, the BC government has created an amendment to the footwear rules under the province's 1996 Workers' Compensation Act that will essentially give women the right to wear whatever footwear they decide is appropriate and comfortable and safe. So the BC Green Party leader, Andrew Weaver, filed a private members' bill in March, designed to prevent employers from setting varying footwear and other requirements based on gender, gender expression, or gender identity. It's weird because since, you know, I'm in my own bubble here at a very progressive company, I never even really considered, you know, corporations, companies, whatever it is, any place of work requiring women to wear heels. Because the reality is, heels are kind of unsafe, very bad for your body. I love heels. I wear them on a regular basis anyway, but that's because I do it based on free will. But for women who don't want to wear it, they shouldn't be pressured or forced to do so.
So if Cenk said you have to wear heels from now on, what would your response be?
I just can't imagine it. But
can't imagine it either. You guys don't even know if we're wearing pants right now. Why would we have to wear a particular type of shoes? I could just take my shoes off. I should, actually. I'd be more comfortable on the show. I might start doing that. I can't
that.
Believe that it'll be fine. I'll put on nice socks. I don't know. I can't believe that. I mean, I would be surprised if in the U.S. this was legal. I guess maybe it is. But the fact that in Canada, supposedly a far more progressive country, especially on gender and workers' rights, the idea that even in one area this was possible, that you would, why wouldn't there be a huge outcry? So, I know that in some limited circumstances there were.
I used to work at, one of my first jobs while I was in college was at a car dealership. And I worked as a receptionist, and my higher up in the company had been very clear about what she expects from her girls. She would always call us her girls. And so she made it clear to me that I was not to show up to work without makeup on. Mm-hmm. That even if I was running late, I had to, in the very least, apply lipstick. And I was so young, so at that time I was just like, oh, okay, it's just, you know, she just wants me to look good and not show up in my pajamas or something like that. But then I really thought about it, and look, there are certain standards regarding our appearance that we have to deal with that guys don't have to deal with. And this is not me like, oh, bitching and moaning, like, oh, it's so unfair. I like wearing makeup, I have no problem with it, but understand that that is a resource, right? That is something that you have to spend a lot of money on.
Yeah.
And so if you are forced to wear makeup or you're forced to dress a certain way,
to buy heels,
it's a costly part of being a woman who's employed for various companies, right? And so it's also unfair. It's like this notion that if you're a dude, since society doesn't expect you to wear makeup, you're totally fine. You look great without makeup, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what society expects of you. For women, if you don't wear makeup, well, then you're a slob.
Yeah.
And so that's unfair too. There are lots of women out there who are just insanely beautiful. Even if you're not beautiful, why are you forced to wear makeup? Mm-hmm. So this kind of stuff does happen. It's just that I don't think most people really talk about it or even acknowledge it.
Yeah, and I would imagine that even in the area where you previously could legally require women to wear them, I doubt many businesses would do that. Because it seems like you're just asking for some sort of suit to try to get the law changed or something like that. It seems crazy. I don't know why you would care. I know there are jobs like Hooters has very specific uniform standards. Maybe something like where you're a receptionist, they might expect a little bit since you're the front face or something like that. But yeah, most men never have to deal with anything like this. Like, I guess you could be a huge slob maybe, but the standard would be so different. And I think that we have to move past it. I mean, if it would bother you that you stop women from wearing heels, like if you found out that women weren't allowed to show their toes in some country, then it should also shock you that it was legal to make women do it.
Exactly. All right, switching gears a little bit to a completely different topic. The heroin epidemic continues to be a huge problem in various states. And of course, there are elected officials and members of police departments that are trying to grapple with it, find ways to solve the problem and go after the right people in order to lower the number of overdoses. Well, there is one sheriff in Florida who went about it in a little bit of a questionable way. It's Sheriff Peyton Grinnell, and he is at the Lake County, in Lake County, Florida, I should say. And so he puts out this video, and a lot of people are like, "What are you doing? What is this?" Okay, take a look.
I'm Lake County Sheriff Peyton Grinnell. Over the last month or so, I've had several phone calls from citizens in this county concerned about the number of overdoses related to heroin. I want our citizens to know that I am aware of this serious issue. I am asking our residents to please call and let us know if you know of a location that this poison is being pushed out to our streets. You can remain anonymous. To the dealers that are pushing this poison, I have a message for you. We're coming for you. As a matter of fact, our undercover agents have already bought heroin for many of you. We are simply awaiting the arrest warrants to be finalized. So, to the dealers, I say, enjoy looking over your shoulder, constantly wondering if today's the day we come for you. Enjoy trying to sleep tonight, wondering if tonight's the night our SWAT team blows your front door off the hinges. We are coming for you. If our agents can show the nexus between you, the pusher of poison, and the person that overdoses and dies, we will charge you with murder. We are coming for you. Run.
God.
What?
And then, like, he like looks at the guy behind the camera, and the guy behind the camera is like, nailed it.
Did that just, that was real. That was,
yeah.
That was a real video that was meant to be taken seriously. So a number of people on this police department's Facebook page have compared it to an ISIS video. One person said that they were expecting the sheriff to, this is not funny, but it was an interesting comment, to behead someone with a dull knife.
Oh God!
It was such a strange video. I don't know what he was thinking, and this is not how you tackle a heroin epidemic. It shows a fundamental misunderstanding. Exactly.
That's how Batman does it. And he, through utilizing fear.
There's so much to comment
on. Are you saying
on.
You disagree with Batman?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe Batman is right. Maybe mm-hmm. he's the arbiter
Peyton
of.
Peyton Grinnell, Dark Knight. Maybe not.
There's so much to comment on. Okay, so first
yeah,
of all.
Yeah, and there's obviously a serious side that we'll get to. But first
will.
Of all, it is laughable.
Yeah, like the fact that he doesn't look at the camera at all because he's reading something. He's like reading the script
it, yeah.
on the side. And then at one random moment, it just like starts zooming in. When
not
he's
at
like,
a random moment.
Be afraid.
I have a message for you. Then zoom in on me when I say I have a message for him. I have a message for you.
Yeah.
There's the music in the background.
Can we play the video as B-roll as we comment on it? Because I have a lot of things to say.
They definitely have the, look, they look kind of badass.
No,
like when you cover someone's face and you put a vest on them.
Sure, I guess, I think the one who's closest to the sheriff on the left-hand side probably looks the most badass. The one on the far left looks like a joke. Why is he wearing, his eyes are complete, why is he wearing sunglasses? His eyes are already completely covered.
Okay.
This is
so
absurd.
They filmed this during a short break while skiing. And so he wanted to be protected from the elements. I don't know why he didn't cover his hands.
This is crazy. And also, I think that you guys could probably notice that it seems as though the sheriff is giddy at the idea of knocking down someone's door and raiding
yeah.
them in the middle of the night.
We've covered some of those.
We've covered a lot of those drug raids, which usually end, not usually, but a lot of them end up with a family pet getting killed.
A lot of dogs
them showing
killed.
Up in the wrong home.
Killing the wrong person.
Throwing a hand grenade in a baby's crib. We did that story a couple years ago. And so it's like this weird power trip that you notice with some cops, and I feel like it's displayed in this video. Look, the heroin epidemic is serious, and we need to find solutions for it. This is not the right solution. Opioid deaths have quadrupled since 1999. There were 33,091 deaths in 2015 alone. There was a 22.7% increase in overdoses in Florida, okay? From 2014 to 2015. So these are cops from Florida. They understand that it's a serious problem. They want to tackle it. I respect them for that. Mm-hmm. But this video is both comical and also shows, again, a fundamental misunderstanding of how to solve the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The only way that I won't criticize them is that I get that at core, they see the damage that heroin is doing and they want to do something about it. And I have produced a lot of cheesy videos. And so I understand that you go into a project thinking this is gonna be badass. Mm-hmm. But then it turns out that even though you and your friend are lightsaber fighting to the best of your abilities, it doesn't look that cool a couple years later. So I know what that's like. But everything else beyond that, it's not just comical, it is comical. Like I love the one guy who is like, no, the glasses are too much, I'm not putting on the glasses. I respect that guy. But there's the dark side too, where okay, so you think you're just trying to terrorize the drug dealers, but you're sending that out to everybody who lives in the area where you work. Like you're trying to terrorize the population. And you're not supposed to be a terrifying force. You're supposed to be a stabilizing force, someone we can rely on and trust. You're not supposed to look like special forces. Nobody except cops likes the gigantic influx of military grade equipment and how badass it looks. Cops love that. I get it. The weapons are cool. But the people don't like that. The people want you to be a regular guy, walk on the beat, maybe you have a sidearm, you protect us. And the idea that you're gonna hunt down and scare the drug dealers like Batman, that you're gonna kick down the door, like do you not follow how often that ends tragically? That it
yeah.
ends in the loss of life, innocent life, or just effing drug dealers? Because drug dealers are bad people in some cases, but they're not rapists, they're not murderers. There are people who are selling something you disagree with that very well might be legal in a couple of years. It's not a military problem. It's a problem of public health.
Yeah.
It's a problem perhaps of education.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You're not supposed to sneak up behind someone and shoot them in the back of the head. That is exactly the wrong way to approach the drug problem.
Absolutely.
And that guy's not 70. He's relatively young. He just became sheriff. I looked it up. This is a terrible precedent to set.
Oh, he just became sheriff.
Yes,
oh.
And so he wants to look badass. And look, again, you can't discount the role of social media and the internet. Like they think, look, maybe we can get a little bit of press. Maybe I could become governor on this thing. I'm not gonna speak for the guy, but I don't like the incentives to try to terrorize the people that you're supposed to be serving. We know where this road leads in America, and it leads towards dead civilians.
Absolutely. And I think that it's important to find solutions by using tactics other than fear. You don't want your people in your county to fear you. You want them to trust you. And when you present yourself as some sort of like crazy military dude who's like
vigilante,
giddy at the notion of like knocking down your door in the middle of the night, like that, I think that creates a certain level of fear and distrust toward you that you're not even necessarily wanting.
Yeah.
So just keep all of that in mind as well. Again, the heroin epidemic is devastating. And I think that a lot of people who maybe don't watch, you know, in-depth news about it, don't understand where it comes from, how it started, how pharmaceutical companies are involved. Like, you want to talk about pushers. Okay? The real pushers were the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. And so, the criminal behavior is always geared toward those who are in the worst position in their lives. And I'm not trying to make excuses for drug dealers. I think that the traffickers do need to be targeted to some extent. But again, this is not the right way to go about it.
Yeah. And if you were to legalize it, you'd eliminate a lot of this ancillary illegal behavior surrounding the drug trade.
Exactly. All right, moving on. More than 400 construction companies have submitted plans and ideas for the design of Donald Trump's border wall. Now, to give you a better sense of what the requirements are, rules state that the wall must be tough enough to withstand attacks from sledgehammer, carjack, pickaxe, chisel, battery-operated impact tools, propane or butane, or other similar handheld tools for up to 4 hours, but also be aesthetically pleasing. Now, it has to be aesthetically pleasing on the US side. They don't care too much about what it looks like on the Mexican side. But it is interesting that it must be physically imposing in height, ideally 30 feet. But the terms also state that shorter options of 18 feet might be or may be acceptable. Okay. Another thing that they kind of conceded on was that a second request for proposals was published with an option for the design to have a see-through component, which means it might just be like a mesh fence, because this is expensive.
Oh, that meant like a porthole or something.
No.
Like peek through and see if anyone's coming.
No, I think they're trying to make an exception because they realize that this is an insanely expensive project that Mexico is not going to pay for, US taxpayers are going to pay for. So maybe we'll just come up with like a mesh fence situation and then that's it. All right, so let me give you some of the proposals and some of the ideas. It involves drones and toxic moats. It's craziness, okay? Mm-hmm. I just want you to know where your taxpayer money is gonna go. So Clayton Industries of Pittsburgh have proposed digging a 100-foot trench along the border and filling it with nuclear waste. A flimsy chain link fence will run along the Mexican side, followed by a field of motion sensors. If any plucky border jumpers make it past the toxic trench, they'll be met with another 30-foot wall the other side, okay? So that's just one of the proposals, and they're like, I wouldn't call it toxic waste. They called it something else.
It's a 100-foot trench.
Yeah.
Do they have any idea how wide that is? You know how much toxic waste you would need?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that we can
generate.
Yeah, exactly.
We probably generate 100 feet of toxic waste.
Yeah.
By the way, the people who talk about the border wall almost universally have never been near the border, because we just showed you some people's houses are going to be on the southern side of it because it has to cut across US land. It's not, they think it's just 100 miles from anything. People's property's right there.
Yeah.
They don't want 100 feet of toxic waste on the other side of a concrete wall from their property. That's bad for property values.
Yeah. Now, again, keep in mind that so far, you know, around 400 companies have submitted design ideas. So just because we're explaining what one of the ideas are doesn't mean that this is what they're going to do. But it kind of gives you a sense.
No 100-foot trench
in
nuclear waste.
I mean, it's Trump. So he might go for like the craziest proposal. But this is also a very
I would actually like to make a recommendation, if that's okay.
Sure.
So I previously had no experience in the real estate industry, but that's okay. Jared Kushner got to start off without knowing what he's doing. So I would like to make a bid. So nuclear waste, you're not going to be able to get that much nuclear waste. So I don't know if you're going to be able to see this, but I'll explain it. So it starts off with a gigantic spinning meat grinder. Uh-huh. And so as you walk towards it, You just get ground up and then it deposits the meat on the other side for wild animals. Every once in a while, the TNT under the meat grinder will explode in case anyone is meat grinder proof. Then there's the 30-foot wall guarded by Godzilla. So Godzilla patrols.
I wish you guys could see this drawing.
And he occasionally shoots fire and acid. It's an upgraded Godzilla if it's in the budget. Maybe we just do fire. And then just in case you get past Godzilla, Gandalf will stop you from passing in the fashion he has traditionally been associated with.
You have to take a photo of that.
So if a Balrog tries to get into the US through the southern border, I think we got this shut locked down.
You have to take a photo of that drawing and then send it to me so I can post it on my Instagram where you guys can see it at Anna Kasparian Official.
Or at John Earl.
Yeah, just saying.
It's expensive, but I think we can do it.
It looks really good.
$20 billion.
I like how creative it is.
Thank you.
Now let me give you some other serious proposals.
I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to mean.
No, you know what?
Is this not serious? Okay, what do we got? What do we got? What's serious?
So Dark Pulse Technologies proposes a big ballistic grade concrete wall embedded with special sensors in order to notify border agents of the exact location of any tampering in real time. In keeping up with their Marvel Comics identity, their wall would be coded to prevent the use of grappling hooks.
And both of those are good ideas.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the craziest,
sensors,
right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So
I want
to be fair to some of the companies with their design ideas, because not all of them are insane. Black Security Products of Austin, Texas has incorporated 4-inch holes in the bottom of the wall to allow animals to scamper across the border undetected, along with a riprap system of loose rocks so the smaller creatures can creep through the wall.
I don't know what that means.
So the reason why I brought this one up is because some of the construction companies are actually rather liberal when it comes to things like the environment. And so in this case, they're like, we're worried about the animals. Animals are innocent, you know? So
that's a serious concern.
Yeah, you know, we don't want Mexican people to come to the country, but we want Mexican animals to come
in. Very small Mexican people, theoretically. I don't know what a riprap system is, but yes, you do have to account for the fact that you'd be massively messing up with the migration patterns of animals.
Yes, exactly. So look,
if you cared about that.
And I do, but I don't think someone like Donald Trump does.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You know, of the proposals that I've mentioned to you, I seriously think that the most appealing would be the first one for Donald Trump, the one involving toxic waste.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't see, but I saw a one that was a 30-foot wall. It's pink because he swore it would be big and beautiful. So we're going to make it big and beautiful. It's going to be pink. It's going to be really big. And it's got stairs on the north side so that curious Americans could get up and like look over the side at Mexico to see what has become of that wasteland. And there's a mall built into it, a gigantic mall.
Right.
So that would be pretty cool. And so obviously they're mocking the entire idea. But I saw that there was one that was just trees with hammocks. The whole thing would just be trees with a million hammocks.
I mean,
for thousands of miles.
I totally get behind that.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a resort destination.
Might be pretty good, yeah. And someone wanted to make the entire thing out of solar panels.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. So again, the solar panel idea is another example of them wanting to, you know, be green in building this wall.
I'm going to incorporate that because I think that Godzilla could absorb the solar energy if necessary. I think that's an innovation that'll go into phase two.
So we'll see what happens. Again, this is something that we as U.S. taxpayers will have to pay for, and it's a stupid idea. Regardless of what the design decision is, it's a stupid idea, it's a devastating idea, and we'll see how it all plays out. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. If you're a member, stick around because there will be a post-game show for you where I will share a recent experience and exchange that I had with a troll, and I will also ask you for some advice. Mm-hmm. And Cenk will be gone
I'm going to briefly explain why I am suddenly deathly afraid of bears. I'll explain that in the post-game because I alluded to it earlier.
All right, guys, we got to go. We love you. We will see you tomorrow.